Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message. If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to pre-order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. And now, back to the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the recap episode of Tom and Beverly Rogers. We are coming at you live from Greenville, South Carolina, inside our podcast studio, affectionately known as Maynard. And we are excited to bring to you today 44 years of marriage. Both Tom and Beverly are therapists, and they have out books and all kinds of great models for relationships. So I think this is an especially important episode if you are in a tumultuous relationship or a relationship that is really struggling and has maybe some deep healing necessary. So let's dive in, and I can't wait to really kind of break this down into to three important parts that we took from this particular interview.
What a dynamic couple. I mean, in doing the recap and preparing, Kim, I don't know about you, I could have stopped halfway through because there was so much stuff to talk about and unpack. And we're going to go deep on some stuff today that we haven't really talked about before. It may sound new to you all, but is going to be really helpful. And so I'm kind of excited, and I'm going to let ladies first today. So awesome. What was your first takeaway that
you
found from the Rogers?
Thank you. The first thing that they spoke about was they dove right into soul healing love models, which is their book and something that they developed to intentionally help themselves as well as others heal deep wounds. This couple both came from very fractured homes.
No doubt.
So their families of origin were about abuse, divorce, a lot of struggles. And they both entered the relationship with fractured and just dysfunction. And they both brought that to the table. And really, the soul healing love model was a way that they worked through and actually developed themselves to help heal themselves first.
Yeah. I mean, they did it for themselves first, which is so cool.
Yeah.
And that model then is what they used in their practice. And Beverly, I think, shared initially she didn't really want to talk about herself much, but she learned she had to, because she had to say this was our discovery and this is what worked. So, yeah, a lot of baggage that they had to unpack, each of them differently. But and they realized, man, we got married and we never talked. We talked about these things, but we've got to heal these wounds so we can be more effective together.
Exactly. And how do you do that? And so the soul healing love model really is about healing deep wounds using neuropsychological and biblical underpinnings. It's tools, exercises, and things that you can do to change your thought patterns and your behaviors. And I noted that because they, like many other couples, had those struggles and that need for healing. And how do you do it? Where do you begin? And that's how soul healing love model began.
And what I loved when she was talking about that model, when they say the key to the model is healing the wounds of the past, which you talked about, But you have to change the models of the past. Otherwise, what's going to happen? They're going to play out in your relationship right now. So if you're in a relationship, even if it's awesome and things are going swimmingly, there's always stuff from the past that if you haven't dealt with it, if you haven't talked about it, addressed it, let alone shared it with your spouse, there's things that didn't come out in our marriage until just a couple of years ago when Kim and I were getting some counseling and support of how we could make our marriage better. We uncovered things that we never really talked about. And until we dealt with those, they were still issues I found out individually. And what I love what Beverly said is that you can change the models of the past so they're not present in your relationship today. And then they go on and tell about how they did that.
Yeah, so that was my first big takeaway from this interview. How about you?
You know, that was one of mine too, and I want to dive into some of those things because it was so meaty. A lot of good stuff there. I think when Beverly said, what you speak is your destiny, your words matter. So when you say something to your spouse, or if you're saying it about yourself out loud to your spouse, it matters. And if you don't want it to become real, you don't speak it. I mean, if you're thinking it, that's one thing, and we can be masters of our thought and change our thoughts. I'm a firm believer in what we think ends up being what we do and what we say. But when you say it, you're giving it even more power. So if you don't want it to be in your relationship, whether it's about you individually as a quality or a characteristic about you, you can't speak it. And man, you got to get more disciplined in not thinking it either, because your words matter. So if you say, I'll never be in a great relationship, I'm never going to learn how not to react and boil over in conflict, right? Whatever it might be, your words matter. So make sure you're speaking words of what you want to be. Even though it may not be that way, if you speak the words, psychologically you're giving yourself the oxygen and permission to experience it. And that was a huge takeaway for me of what Beverly was saying.
I love that. And she gave the example of one of the things that they both did often was, this isn't working, you know, oh, this is terrible, this is, we should just get a divorce. They both kept saying that to each other over and over again, which, again, you're giving that oxygen and you're letting that perhaps maybe take on a life of its own. And so they really stopped, they really tried to make a point of stopping that type of talk.
Yeah, whether it's self-deprecating to themselves as individuals or to the relationship. And I want to share a little story that talks about baggage and history. There's an allegory, a story I've read from a religious book, and it's called an allegory. And the allegory talks about people at the base of a mountain, and they're all trying to get to the top, right? And everybody thinks they know what they need, what path they're going to go, and what they carry. And as you ascend, meaning as you rise up, both figuratively and literally, how you get to the top depends what kind of baggage you're carrying. And so the people that are carrying all kinds of baggage, they've got issues, stuff that's not resolved, right? Stuff they're not willing to let go of, or too many possessions, they're pretty down low on the mountain because they can't ascend or go higher when they're carrying all that crap, all that garbage. And some people choose the most difficult path because they want to make, they think, if I go the shortest distance, man, I'm just going to go straight up. That might be the most difficult path. And so their ascent is also slow. So, and I think it's so valid in relationships, what kind of baggage we have, what we don't want to let go of or insist on carrying, or maybe it's the path. It might take a little longer to do a zigzag or a back and forth path as we ascend and try to learn more. And so it might take longer, but it's going to be more steady. And in the journey of life, you see people all over the roadway, right? Some people have flat tires. Some people's hoods are up and the engines have exploded. And everybody's in a different stage of that. But the key term to what they're talking about in their model of relationships is, if you don't handle the baggage, it's going to drag you down and slow you down. And I think that story is huge for us and our listeners.
I agree. Thanks for sharing that. Tell me, what do you think is another takeaway then? It sounds like we both had the same number one takeaway. What's another takeaway that you had with this interview?
So this is kind of tangentially related, and I think this was one of the first interviews that we did where one of the couples talked about adultery, and not with themselves. We haven't heard, we have heard that yet in some of our other episodes, but so Tom talked about witnessing He picked up the phone one day and heard his dad talking to another woman. And I think he said he was 13 years old when he first heard that, and it just rocked his world. And that was some baggage that he had to deal with. And then the stuff that I just felt so badly for that to deal with as a young child, he said his parents stayed together for 11 years after that discovery. And so he had to unpack that and say he had that knowledge. I don't think he told his mom. He was 13. He didn't feel that he could. And they stayed together for 11 more years and many more adulterous and, you know, infidelity, right? And infidelity is just in any relationship, especially an intimate one in marriage, is just it's a wrecking ball. And it takes a wrecking ball to the relationship. And he had to deal with that because he brought it forward, right, into his relationship with Beverly. Because anytime there was an issue in the relationship, his response was, oh, it's called off. We may as well, you know, this isn't working. We're going to punt. We're going to get out of it. And he said, until Beverly and I worked through that and realized we're in it no matter what, it wasn't an option to blow up. He had to change that pattern. So if you're dealing with a passive wound, that's what he called that. It was a passive wound. He witnessed something that wasn't involving him, his dad and the other woman, so to speak, but that was a wound. And it took therapy and help for him to learn how to heal that. And that speaks so much to me, Kim, because as you know, I have that in my background and experience as well with my father. And there was some infidelity and an affair. And I didn't find out about it directly. I found about it through one of my older siblings who witnessed it. And I think it really rocked her world. And that was something she had to deal with. But that's how I found out about it. And I didn't really deal with it. I didn't know how to. I was pretty young when that happened, even though their divorce happened much later after 26 years of marriage. And that was something I had to really unpack. So if you're out there, male or female, and you've had that in your family of history, if either of your parents were involved in any kind of infidelity or adulterous relationship, it is something you've got to really deal with for you individually and also with your spouse, because if your spouse doesn't know about it, they can't support you in the healing process and also being aware of what might be a trigger for you of what comes up later in the relationship. So I was so grateful that Tom brought that up and talked about the healing power that has to happen, because a passive wound harms you more than an active wound. An active wound, hey, this happened, you can see it, you feel it, and you can respond to it. But when it's done by somebody else, not to you, and it has an effect on you, it's much tougher to deal with. And so I was so grateful and listened to the interview, guys, because they unpacked it really well and talk about how they went through that healing process.
Well, you talk about triggers, and I think that in Tom's case, it does trigger you, and you don't even realize it, right? You're saying that you have all these underlying issues from this passive abuse, and you don't even know it. It makes you feel hopeless, fearful, insecure. There are so many things that go along with that. And realizing that and then being willing to heal that, I think is important. And I think that's where Tom was successful.
Yeah, absolutely. It's tough to do on your own, right? I mean, sometimes you need help and then outside third perspective, and I would encourage that. And something that Beverly said, Kim, this was a huge takeaway, and before we leave this topic, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. She said they both felt their childhood disqualified them from having success now, right? And that's kind of like the sins of the papas and mamas, right? In other words, something my parents did that I experienced makes me not good, makes me unclean, makes me less than. And they had to learn that just because they experienced that in their childhood or their family of origins growing up, they're entitled, capable, and deserve happiness and success now. And they had to unpack that. And I thought it was, what a great example.
And that's why we're doing this. That's why we have this podcast, because we believe everyone is entitled to that.
No doubt. When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder how you're doing? We found that there are 13 key components that make up a thriving relationship, which is why we've created the Kick-Ass Assessment. In this powerful free tool, you'll learn what they are and how you and your spouse are ranking in each one. And you'll get recommendations that will help you start improving today. get your results, simply visit MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. It's time to start kicking ass. Let's go.
Well, another takeaway that I had from this interview was a point that Tom made, and it is that when there is conflict, when there are things that they're struggling with, that they look at it as, instead of just what the content is, what the process is. And so they are really looking to dig deeper to try to find out what the real issues are, to come to an understanding of what those issues are, and then being able to work through them. So he said fights are something symptomatic of something thematic, something deeper that is generally being triggered. And the reaction is deep because it impacts other things such as insecurity, inability to trust, a feeling of doom. So that really stood out to me as something that we need to think more about, content and process.
All right, you're two for two on taking the same things that I, and you know, and like I said, this interview was so packed of great stuff, but
there's
I want to
so
make sure,
much.
There's so much. And so content versus process, that's the takeaway. Content is where most couples focus. They say, well, you said and you did and I thought. They're focusing on the surface issue, taking out the trash, unloading the dishwasher, picking up the kids, feeding the dogs,
money issues.
And so
use that as an example.
And it could be anything, but what they both said is you got to focus not on the content, but on the process. In other words, what do we need to learn from this experience that's going to make it not come up again and make us stronger in our relationship? And let's use that example of money. Money is one of the biggest things that couples argue about. But Tom, they argued about it because he came from her perspective, right? Bev said, you're the rich guy. You came from having everything. You had indoor plumbing and you had a garage, right? And he goes, wow.
You spend money, you don't think anything about it. You just do it.
And that was an issue. And they fought about the money issues.
A lot.
And what they found out is there was residue from their childhood experiences and how money was brought up and how they experienced it, and they had to learn that the fight was not about money, but what was the real issue. And she said they dealt with it and they never had to deal with it again.
Yeah,
so
if
money is one of your issues, it's probably not money, it's probably control, right?
Wow.
And communication. So what a great example to really be able to dive deep and find out what that other issue is.
Yeah, they use the to quote what they said, information, they used information to make a transformation. So really, again, that's that process of digging deeper to find out exactly what really is the root of the issue and to have a deeper understanding of what's really impacting that person.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm going to jump in and go number three because
I'm going to see. Go for it.
You know, I loved what they said about commitment. And, you know, that's one of our three C's. It's the first one. We call it the cornerstone of any good relationship. If there's commitment, really, you can get to everything else. But, man, if the cornerstone is not solid and free of cracks, the rest of the structure is just not going to make it. And what I thought, you know, I think Tom may have said this. He said there's no exit, or Beverly did too. The door is locked from the outside.
Yeah.
Unless there's abuse, adultery, or utter neglect. So exits can be too much of anything, right?
Right.
It's not just – it could be – he works too much. She spends too much time with her friends. I mean, you know, it's not male or female dominated, but if you've got an exit, meaning there's something other than your relationship that takes you away from your relationship, takes your focus, takes your resources, takes your energy, then that's a problem. And you've got to think about what are the outside interests that are giving you exit from your relationship. And she said, you know, and when they work with some of their clients, they say, all right, guys, we want you to take 20 minutes and have a family meeting and talk about what's going on in the family. And she says some of her clients look at her and go, 20 minutes? you want us to spend 20 minutes a week? And if that sounds like a lot to you, man, that maybe it's time to have one of those meetings where you're connecting and what your number one relationship is and how much energy are you putting into the union, because the energy has got to come back to you.
Well, and I would take that a step further and say, while I think 20 minutes a week is great, I really don't believe that's enough.
Definitely.
I think you need to be setting aside time every day, even if it's just 10 minutes, to have each other's undivided attention, to just speak to each other. Maybe it's to briefly talk about your day, but it's not while you're trying to cook dinner, tend to children. It's just that undivided attention of 10 minutes that you can give to each other to say, I see you, I hear you, and to just really connect.
Yeah, and really commitments about prioritization. And that's the lens that we like to look through. And that's what's unique about our platform, what we share together. So if you're watching, I want you to see me what I'm doing right now. And if you're just listening, I'm going to describe it. This is called a full body nod. I'm shaking my head and my whole body is moving because your relationship, Tom said this, he said, our relationship is my number one priority, even above my kids. He goes, it's my heavenly father first, he said, and then my wife, and my kids are wonderful. But if my spouse doesn't come first in any human relationship, you're setting yourself up for disaster. And I loved that. He said, I love my kids, but you know what? He stands up for his wife in front of his kids, because there's been times early on in their relationship where the kids, Dad, you won't believe what mom said or what mom did, and they're ganging up and they want their dad to jump in and start banging on the drum about something bad about mom. And he said, hey, hold on, time out. He goes, the woman you're talking about is not only your mother, but she's my wife, and she's my number one. You may not talk about or treat your mother that way. He said the kids kind of pulled up short and said, oh man, I guess we can't do that again. And they didn't. And those are the ground rules that they set out. So in your own relationship, and I think Kim and I have a very similar philosophy, we think that our relationship is number one, and we each prioritize that with each other. Our kids know that they are welcome additions to the family. And we learned that early on in this course called Growing Kids God's Way. And she and I took that. It was a cassette tape course. Okay, guys. It was,
now you're dating
us. It was VHS video, not even a CD, a DVD, right? It was VHS and cassette tapes before we had our first child, who's 23 now. But we did that workbook together, and it really helped give us sound, not only biblical, but just practical of how the kids should play as a role in our family. And that's critical, because if your kids are more important to you than your relationship, man, that's going to cause friction.
Sure, they're just going to play you, and they're going to work you off of each other. It's a recipe for a disaster, I think, in a relationship if you let that continue on.
Yeah, yeah. So what was your next one, Kim?
So my number three takeaway of this interview was Tom talking about conflict. And I love that he broke it down into handling conflict in two ways. The first was to really take ownership. Don't talk about what the other person did, what part they had in it, but really, what role did I play in this conflict? What role do I have in these issues? So I really appreciated taking ownership of that. And I also like that he said the second part to that resolving conflict is intentionality. Do I have a willingness to move in a healing direction? So I need to learn how to override my tendency to react. And really, it is all about reaction and response to what is happening. So I love that he kind of broke it up into those two different ways of handling conflict. And he said that, you know, if you can both move into a deeper level of understanding, it's going to create a motivation to help each other then move into figuring out what we need, what do we need from each other? That really is the bottom line, wouldn't you say?
No, I love that. And I think a lot of, I think during that section, he said to them, you know, there's got to be a lot of the clients that come to him come with lists, and they have lists about all the things they want to change about their spouse. If he only did this and she only did that, and right, and they're coming at each other and talking about those lists, and they ask them, they go, well, outside of your list of the things you think they need to change, what, first tell us what you need to change, and then tell us what you think you need out of this relationship, right? And it's not only knowing what you need, but then you've got to communicate those needs and say, I need to feel loved, to feel heard, to feel listened to feel valued. Whatever it is you need, you put it in an I statement and you say, I need from you. And so many of us think this, but we don't communicate to our spouse what those needs are, and then we get angry and we have resentment because our spouses aren't giving us what we need. So what do you need outside of the resolution of what's bugging you? It's not that something did or didn't happen, they did or didn't say something, but you're feeling your needs are not being met. And that's usually where a lot of conflict seems to arise.
I agree. And I also think this understanding part of what you really need to gain from each other's perspective is important, because you have a truth and I have a truth, right? And it's gaining perspective on each other's truth that's really going to help us move forward with our healing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, it's, you have to seek to understand, and if you don't know what your spouse's needs are and what is their reality, you know, there's a parallax, right? If you're driving in your car, I'm driving the car and you're next to me, I look at the gas tank and I go, oh my gosh, I got half a tank of gas. Your view, your parallax of the gas tank from where you are, you're going, honey, don't you need to stop for some gas? It looks like you're almost out, right? Same reality, two different views. And so until I can understand and appreciate your view on the same issue that I'm seeing, I'm not going to be most effective in that relationship. And I think what Beverly said that I love so much, she said, how can you put behavior and action to it, right? What are we going to do differently? Insanity, as everybody has heard, is doing the same thing and expecting different results. So what behavior or action are we going to take that is going to end up in us doing something differently so we get the result that we both want?
I love that Bob said, he used a phrase, honey, you may be right. He said that if you use this phrase, and it could be me using it with Matthew or Matthew even using it with me, he said, if you can say this and mean it, it humbles you and it slows things down and it helps you to be in a better place. I really appreciated that.
That was a great, Tom had a great phrase there, and I agree that he said it really well when he said that. And I mean, we could go on and on and on. I mean, I have more notes and there's more great pearls. Or any final thoughts or anything that you feel that we need to add outside of what
I know, I agree. I feel like I could have a few more points with this interview. I think one other thing that they talked about that we can just touch on really quickly is intimacy and how important it is to be vulnerable, to be open, to be honest, to really put yourself out there with transparency. It really is the key, they said, to a deep and healthy relationship. And he used the phrase, into me I see, which again is just that openness and that willingness to pretty much just lay it all out there.
Right, and the intimacy really comes from, into his expression of that, it's what do I see in myself, and now I'm going to share it, and I'm going to speak it. And that vulnerability, that openness, and it's going to, you know, the listener, the other spouse, willing to listen and receive and repeat it and express gratitude for that. And when you're both doing that, it's a beautiful dance, a game, right? Back and forth, the volleys and the ping pong, and it's a beautiful rhythm when you're willing to give of yourself, your thoughts and feelings on your deepest emotions, And that's what makes you closer and more in sync with one another.
Yeah, this episode has a lot of wisdom and a lot of great pearls. If you're struggling in a relationship, I would encourage you to go back and listen to this episode in its entirety, because these two really got into a great place the hard way. They learned and they were motivated to learn, and they can share a lot with others who are in the same situation.
And what I love about Bev and Tom is that this came out of their own experience. So they dealt with these issues. They figured out the right way that worked for them to solve it. And then they can give you the science and the experience of psychology and counseling that goes with it to help you understand it and receive it in the right way. These are not just people who are teaching because they haven't done it. They've done it. And they also teach it quite effectively. So please go listen to that episode. And man, you're going to get so many great things. And we're so grateful that you took the time to join us on this recap of Tom and Beverly Rogers. They're our neighbors in Charlotte. We're in Greenville. We've got to drive and see them face to face sometime. And if you're wondering what can you do to have a better relationship, if you want to level up that number one relationship and make it more kick-ass than it may already be, please go check out Kick-Ass Couples Nation at MatthewPHoffman.com. We have a wonderful membership group where imperfect couples that want to level up can come and learn from each other, learn from licensed marriage therapists all over the country with great experiences and wisdom. Kim and I are starting a new segment called TGWM, Thank God We're Married, where we're going to be putting out for our members something every Monday, something you can do right now to improve your relationship. So thanks for listening in today. We hope you come back. And until next time, just remember that happily ever after does not just happen.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's upcoming book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away.
Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.